Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, our streak of booking big-time guests in the industry have come to an end today. You are stuck with just me and Brian, but we got lots to dive into. Brian was in the news talking about some of our sports betting conversations last week or a couple weeks ago with Captain Jack. We got looming crypto regulation, the SEC sending out strongly worded letters to exchanges like Coinbase, and who knows, maybe we'll even see how Brian's bracket is doing. All today on Lulz.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no. Let the DFS cats pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
Brian, I just remembered, didn't we have like a cliffhanger last week where you said you were having friends over at like 10:30 or 11 a.m. to watch March Madness? And did you survive that experience?
Barely.
Yeah.
Just barely. I feel like my hangover is like finally completely gone now, you know, like not like you can exist in society and no one can tell, but you kind of know you drank a few days before that kind of, it lasted like for 4 days.
Goodness. Yeah, that sounds so like, did you start drinking at 11 a.m.?
Listen to this. I got cut off.
See, petty theft is acting like this isn't a cliffhanger. We're about to get an absolute, Brian got cut off from a bar in Chicago, one of the hotbeds of drinking in America.
I was out here, but the girl at, we went to Buffalo Wild Wings because in the suburbs, there's no like bars you can go to. Right. And I had two Long Island iced teas.
Yeah.
And then everyone else got a third drink and I'll have another one too. And we told her earlier, like we're here to watch the games and it was totally dead too, which is really weird, you know, that like it wasn't packed, but, and she's like, oh great. I love when guys are here for hours. And she's like, okay, I'll get you one. And like, I'll get you one later. I thought she was joking and she brought them all drinks and stuff. And like, so like, then she came back another 20 minutes later. I still haven't gotten a drink. I'm like, oh, are you being serious? She's like, yeah, like we're supposed to like Long Island iced teas. We're supposed to wait an hour and a half.
And my guess is they don't enforce that rule for everyone, but she looked at you and thought they needed to enforce that rule.
I know. I was like, what the fuck? Are you serious? Like after two, lady, like that's never happened to me ever. And like wanted to go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I'm picturing Brian being told that a rule is being enforced. Did you go on a libertarian tirade after that?
I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy at all. And my other buddy used to be a bartender and he's like, no, dude, I remember that was a rule and stuff. Like, I don't give a fuck if it's actually a fucking law. It's never once been enforced on me or anyone I've ever fucking seen. Luckily though, they're like, they wanted to come back here and whatever. It's cheaper. We had tons of booze and stuff here, and so they wanted to leave. So well, I'm like, oh, we're gonna leave now. And she's like, you're not leaving because of that. And we weren't, but I wanted her to think I was. Like, what the fuck? You have like six people in this place. You have to be losing money. This operation. Yeah. I'm clear. And she knew I wasn't driving.
Wow.
So it's like, whatever. Fuck you. Like, I'm out of here. Fuck
Biden's America strikes again, Brian.
Yeah, that's March Madness. Six people in the bar, and you can have two drinks.
Yeah. Joey says you were making a scene. I mean, what's the truth behind this story? Causing trouble in there?
Trust me, my buddies are not that type. We're like, you're making a scene. We have to go. They do not care.
I love that you're at a Buffalo Wild Wings. Have I ever told you my Buffalo Wild Wings story?
No.
So I had, it was one of the years I came back from college in the summer. I think it was after my freshman year of college and I didn't have a job. And I was just looking everywhere and down the street from my parents, they were opening up the 300th Buffalo Wild Wings store in Colorado, and they were rolling out this big promotion that on launch day, the first 300 people in line would get like free Buffalo Wild Wings for a year. So it was like they were putting a lot of energy in this, and they were hiring all kinds of people. And so I got hired because they just needed help. I was on the wrap station. I was doing all this overtime hours because they were getting all ready for the launch. And then I got a better job like 2 weeks later and went in and gave the manager my 2 weeks notice. And he was not happy with me at all after spending all this time training me. And then I peaced out to make like $2 more per hour. But I have very fond memories of those 2 weeks I worked at a Buffalo Wild Wings.
I had the opposite happen to me.
Really?
Not at Buffalo Wings, at a Hollywood Video. I'm not sure. It was a chain, but it probably
no,
wasn't.
No, I remember Hollywood. Okay. It was like adjacent to Blockbuster.
Yeah, exactly. Adjacent to Blockbuster. And they were opening a store. And so I got hired, opened the store up. They trained me, whatever. And then after the store was open, they let go like half of us. And I was one of the people. They just hired us as cheap labor to move all the shit in.
And then let
you work a couple of weeks. And then they probably picked from the cream of the crop, which I wasn't. So
yeah. The the World Cup was going on this summer too. And I remember me and my friend would just like cover for each other and be like, you go watch the World Cup, like through the kitchen, looking out into the bar area, and then I'd go watch it. And then our other huge ruse that we would do is Buffalo Wild Wings. I don't know if they still have it, but they had this, like one of their desserts was this like molten chocolate lava cake type thing. And they kept them in the freezer. And it was so good. And my friend and I would cover for each other. And one of us would go into the freezer and just house an entire chocolate cake thing that was back there in the packaging and then come out. And the other would cover in front of the freezer, go in there. Just, it was just so, so good. And then he'd be like, dude, you have like a bunch of like chocolate cake on your lips. You're like coming out of the freezer like that.
This is clearly what you were not allowed to get free food at this place.
You know, it was supposed to be off hours, off shift, but okay. Sometimes you're getting hungry in there making wraps and you need to go for a little snack in the freezer.
I worked at a few different places like that where they made like whatever fast food or pizza joint.
Yeah.
And like one would give you food and the other one, which was sweet, but we did abuse it, obviously. And then another one, the guy had like just this beef joint I worked at when I was whatever, 17 or something. And he gave no free food whatsoever. You had to pay, but you got like a 15% discount. I'm like, I quit like the next day after finding that out. I'm like, there's no way. And he was like tried to pay me under the table. Right. And you know, to save taxes is like,
yeah.
And then he drove like this $100,000, $200,000 car.
Well,
like, I'm like, fuck this.
Businesses don't realize how like, just a little benefit like that of like you get a free fucking sandwich, how right. far that goes. I always remember my big sweat in high school when I was caddying a ton was, you know, before the 10th hole, you know, after the 9th hole, there was like the snack cart and all of that stuff. And you always knew if you were caddying for a good golfer, you know, at minimum, they would normally get you a Gatorade, like, hey, you want a Gatorade? But sometimes they'd be like, do you want a snack? And they'd buy you like a chicken salad sandwich or something. And it was just like pure euphoria. Like if my golfer bought me a sandwich while I was caddying, I thought he was like the best dude in the entire world.
Nice. Yeah. 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 I did something like that the other day, but I can't remember what it was. But yeah, you giving the guy a little something.
Yeah.
If you noticed this with deliveries to your house, like food deliveries, like pizza or whatever, if you get any of those, that they leave them on your front doorstep now.
Yeah.
I cannot fucking stand that with bad. Like I write
as opposed to like ringing the doorbell.
They don't even ring the doorbell sometimes.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of it was allowed during COVID. And just like young people do not want to interact with on a human level with people anymore. And they just want to put it down and go. And that's who does the majority of the deliveries. But like I put on there, like not contactless delivery, you know, like they have the options on there. Cause I'm sick. Cause like they'll leave it out and it's cold and I don't hear the knock or the doorbell. They don't even do it. And it's fucking the food's cold.
The thing is, though, is I don't think it's that they don't want to interact. I think they just know the faster they are, the better their hourly is, right? They're on to the next order. Because in the same way, I don't know, you probably see them all the time now, like the Amazon truck drivers, every single time I see one, they're sprinting to that. And I know that's a little different because they just are based on like a set hourly rate instead of mm-hmm. like probably earning their own by deliveries. But I just feel like all of these guys, whether because of fucking Bezos or because they're trying to get as many deliveries in, everyone's just in a massive hurry.
Maybe. Maybe, yeah. I mean, the delivery guys do seem to drop it off, but like that you're supposed to drop it off.
Yeah.
Just I would just be just happy they don't chuck it half the way down your sidewalk at your front door. They at least bring it up there. But food, you leave it down. It's like it's, you know, not sanitary, even though it's in a paper bag and it's cold as fuck out. You know, it's not that bad now, but a couple of weeks ago it was freezing out.
Yeah, I had one when we had just moved into our house. It hasn't happened recently, but literally instead of walking it up to the front steps, they literally chucked it in the yard. Unless like some dog came and like dragged it away, like it was just in the middle of the yard. I was like, the guy didn't even get out. He just tossing it. I'm like, these guys are getting way too
like late. Like a paper delivery boy on a bicycle.
Taking the Amazon out there. All right. So everyone wants to know, Brian, how's your bracket doing? My KenPom bracket is crushing so far right now.
I saw somebody posted that. I think I'm in the top third or something. Okay. One of our buddies made this thing. Maybe you should share this link. It's pretty cool for the Oxen Bros. I will have it here in a second. He did a little sim.
Really?
Optobro.com.
Okay. Let me go to this here.
And he did a little sim for whose brackets were best. Pre-lock. I don't think he's updated it with. There you go.
Oh, and this is for the Onyx, the draft.
Yeah.
One?
Okay. And it will live update as it goes to 10,000 sims. But I thought that was pretty cool. And I don't think, pre-tournament. So he doesn't have how we're doing now. Yeah, not great, but I was up there.
Okay.
I think there was like 2,300 entries or something. I was 300 or something like that. But I spent all of 15 minutes putting together a spreadsheet thing. So not much effort. But it looks like you could get an edge. And it looks like a lot of DFS guys were better than the sports bettors or whoever makes up this 2,500 group of people.
You know what? That would be a very fun delineation to start seeing on the data, like in these merged DraftKings, like sportsbook accounts versus DraftKings accounts. And then in these things that kind of are in the middle of the Venn diagram of those guys and see who's better at those specific things.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I would like March Madness or pool brackets to start happening.
Yeah.
Bigger level. I think they're illegal in Illinois though. Cause I know in some states, I think in Denver, you could do them for money, not Denver, Colorado in general. You could do them for money, but in Illinois, we can't.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah,
Colorado seems to have one of the best setups right now as far as sports betting and fantasy and everything.
They must not have had any entrenched interest before. Mm. Did they have a big like a Native American reserve casino area or?
Well, just the one we were talking about with Nerdy Tenor last week where he goes and plays Blackhawk. But I don't, those aren't, maybe I'm misspeaking, but those aren't like big, you know, reservation conglomerates like Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun out there. They're on a much smaller scale.
California's whatever theirs is. I can't remember. Yeah. Or just like a bunch of casinos everywhere. Yeah. Like, you know, do you guys have that?
There's like this mountain town, like, yeah, up by Blackhawk where there's like a small cluster of them. But there are not a ton of casinos out there.
That's probably why.
Yeah. And Andrew says they also have one of the most liberty oriented governors. It's a surprise you have not moved there yet, Brian.
Yeah. I think that might be debatable, my friend.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
And I mean, I live in Illinois, so it's not like.
Yeah. Well, I do think, we've talked about it before. I mean, Colorado can definitely make a claim to one of the DFS hotbeds. You got all the ETR contingent out there. You got Nerdy Tenor. Who else is out there?
Steve.
The
Colts is out there. Levitan. Did you say him already?
Yeah. And then you guys got the Chicago, right? You got the Chipotle.
Oh, one Chipotle brother is out in Denver and one's in Chicago. I believe. I don't know. I don't keep tabs on them. So they might not live either place anymore, but that's where they did last I knew.
I just assume that you kind of had drone research of all of your top DFS competition and you were kind of triangulating or whereabouts.
If I had a drone, they wouldn't be around, Pete.
Okay, that's a different kind of drone. So, Brian, you were in the news. You spoke with Jeff Edelstein, who writes over at US Bets, which is a betting arm underneath the Better Collective umbrella. I have actually done some best ball stuff with Jeff in the past, but he wrote about sports betting. And I assume our conversation with Captain Jack was the impetus for this piece.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sports Handle. They have a Twitter sports handle too that I follow. Mostly sports betting, but they got DFS and legislative news and stuff, like a map where you can go to your state and see how legislation is for all these things.
And Jeff wanted to interview you, and you said, "Not so fast. This is the oldest trick in the book. You are going to distort my words and warp my message. Therefore, you must record the entire thing and post it on my channel." That's how it went.
I'm not kidding. It did cross my mind. I'm like, "Oh, this guy's going to call me a racist or something. I better have this on record." But no, it was mainly because I need content on my channel. I don't do anything on there anymore, and they demonetize you on YouTube now. So if you don't do content for like 2 months, Pete, you like could lose your channel, or at least lose the monetization. And then, you know, it's kind of a pain in the ass to get monetized. Like I don't know how it was for you, but like they have to mail you, like physically mail you some code that you have to type in. Yeah. Same.
I remember that. So tell me about, I didn't watch your interview. I'm sorry. You should throw it up on the Lulz feed though, if you want. Podcast feed. What did you guys talk about? What was he specifically asking about?
It was entirely about that whole conversation we had with Jack, that one right there. He posts about he just never kind of heard the argument that the addiction rates, you know, aren't that high and they're equal to or lower than a whole bunch of other addiction rates in society, and we don't regulate the ever loving shit out of those areas. We don't shame those people that much. Everything I said to Jack, basically. And it hit home with him, and he wrote an article about it.
I will drop this in the chat. You know, initially Brian shared the article in the Lulz channel in Deposit Kingdom Discord. I did what I always do and just hit Control F, searched Lulz, searched my name, couldn't find anything. But clearly my concerns were heard, because now all of a sudden, Brian, we got not only an embed, but I got within a dash here who co-hosts the Lulz podcast with Peter Overzet. So thank you very much for that.
Wow. Look at that. Look at that.
Time to get all of these Better Collective clicks, baby. Did he push you, Jeff, push you on anything, or have any other insight from his perspective that you found interesting?
Really quick, Better Collective owns them. Do Sports Handle? I didn't know that.
I just assume so, because Jeff does just stuff with Roto Grinders and is under that umbrella.
Man, they are all over the place, Better Collective. They own tons of shit.
Yeah, Jay Edelstein at bettercollective.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought they were their own thing, but whatever. Your question was, did he I'm trying to think if he had any specific. I didn't listen back to our YouTube podcast in full yet, but he mainly just asked me questions, and then he did throw some stuff at the end, but I forgot to get back that far. So nothing specific that comes to mind. He had some just other analogies that were also useful, and I think he put them in the article. Some of the rates I didn't mention either. One that was like 6 or 7% of people. I can't remember what it was, but since you put the link in here, I could look. That was higher than I thought. Higher than I thought too. I think the thing is, people just had no clue what those rates are. They just assume gambling is this evil, evil thing.
Yeah.
That, you know, and I said something in that interview too, like if you, I guarantee if you poll people, like what percentage of people get addicted to sports gambling, it would be like wildly disproportionate to what the studies actually show. Yeah. Shoplifting disorder, 6%. I didn't know that. That's pretty high.
Yeah. Defined as chronic repetitive purchasing that becomes a primary response to negative events or feelings, which become very difficult to stop and ultimately results in harmful consequences. Man, at first I was reading this article and I thought 1-800-SHOPPER read 1-800-HOOPER. And I thought you had created a helpline, Brian, where you were actually fielding questions for all of these people.
Yeah. I'd be like, you're fine, dude. Listen, the rates are really low. It's like, I just lost my house, man. No, you're fine. Just get back in there. Have you created a spreadsheet yet?
And you know, we have not created a spreadsheet yet. Has there been any other fallout or, you know, pushback that you've gotten since that episode, since this interview? Anything else pop up from it?
Nothing except people in our Discord.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think it definitely dovetails with another thing that we have impending regulation on, which is crypto. We have some interesting stuff going on with the SEC. They sent something called a Wells notice to Coinbase. They also posted kind of a caution on the investor.org, the SEC website, exercise caution with crypto asset securities. It was an official investor alert that came out today. So it seems like a lot is happening right now as far as how the government's thinking about crypto.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I find it concerning. I was interesting to see what you thought about it. And I sent you a little Twitter link in the private chat, super secret private chat, where it looks like Brian Armstrong selling coin shares. And I can't tell if it's like I think he has like some scheduled amount he sells every month. But some people think it's like a lot more than normal or something. And I don't know. I don't keep up with it, but I don't know. It's not like a good, and it's gone up the last couple of days since that Wells notice came out. I think it's gone up. We're up over 2,800 right now. I just checked.
Yeah, I'd seen some other posts about this that, and I think you just mentioned it too, that he's been consistently selling, like since the second they IPO'd, he's been selling his stock. So as this comment says here, that's not a significant amount of shares compared to his holdings. Let's see if it stops or continues. So I guess it could be something, but maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, if he does, that would definitely.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things I was pissed about during, was it this boom or the old boom? I can't remember. It was when Litecoin got to like 300 and the founder of Litecoin sold all his Litecoin.
Charlie,
I didn't go, huh, maybe I should start selling a lot of these altcoins and stuff.
Yeah. No, that was a big deal. That was like the first big Bitcoin boom followed by the shitcoin boom, and Charlie Lee like dumped the absolute top on Litecoin, and everyone was very pissed.
The all-time peak, I think it was. And it's like when he sells it, guys, we should probably be selling. And so now I'm trained. If anyone sends me anything like that, it's like, okay, if Brian Armstrong's selling coin or I don't know, like Safedin Amos or somebody selling their Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I mean, there is nobody unless Satoshi comes back. If Satoshi sells his Bitcoin, it's probably time to call it quits.
would be an absolutely wild day, the day his OG wallets with all those Bitcoin move.
I do think there is still some naive like logic that Bitcoiners have, a lot of the, like orange-pilled guys. That the government can't really destroy this thing when I think they could, if they really wanted to just start making every transaction illegal, just don't allow banks to do process transactions. You could start like a big run. I know like technically, unless they destroy the internet, you can't destroy Bitcoin. I get it, but like they could make it functionally obsolete to the point where like, so many people would just lose all the value they had in Bitcoin. And I know you could still trade, even if it's at one cent, you could still trade is what they'd say. But that's not like the thesis that everyone wants. The thesis everyone wants is to get the
mass adoption
where it's a decentralized, transfer of money. And there's no government in the world that can fuck with it. That's not going to happen.
Well,
if they really crack down on it.
And if you also think, and I'll just quickly read for you guys who are listening to audio, I pulled up right now the note that Brian Armstrong, or I guess not Brian Armstrong, someone at Coinbase wrote about what the SEC sent them with the Wells notice. It says, TLDR, today the SEC gave Coinbase a Wells notice regarding an undefined portion of our listed digital assets, our staking services, Coinbase Earn, Prime, and Wallet. After a cursory investigation, we are prepared for this disappointing development. We are confident in the legality of our assets and services, and if needed, we welcome a legal process to provide the clarity we have been advocating for and to demonstrate that the SEC simply has not been fair or reasonable when it comes to its engagement on digital assets. Rest assured, Coinbase products and services continue to operate as usual. Today's news does not require any changes to our current products or services. So, Brian, do you have any familiarity with this concept of a Wells notice?
No, when I first saw that, I'm like, oh, Wells Fargo sent them a notice. Right. That's how much you understand what a Wells notice is.
I know. When I read it, I was like, is this like a well actually? Well, actually, what you guys are doing.
It turns out it was. Like, here's your okay in 2018. Well, actually, it's not okay anymore.
Yeah. Well, I do think it's interesting so much as, you know, obviously we had the FTX collapse. We also had a ton of other, you know, ancillary exchanges that were impacted by that. I had money in Gemini Earn that I luckily got out, but that felt the trickle down effect. Blockfolio, there's a bunch of sites who were casualties. Coinbase was really kind of the last US based exchange that had kind of a sterling reputation of like, this is the place where things above board, where nothing can go wrong, where your money's still safe. And now stuff like this, I think, further erodes at that, you know, consumer confidence.
Oh yeah, definitely. And but the price go up, so yeah. I don't get it. It's also another thing is it's just like in this period of time of like a banking crisis, possibly, maybe yes, we already are in it. The recession looming, maybe we're already in it. The stock market unstable to say the least, right? But I'm looking now, so the stock market went up today too, and they raised the Fed raised rates again yesterday, so they're sticking with that. So I mean, hopefully it's not anything, but like it was much better when they didn't know what the hell they were doing, like the federal government. They weren't involved at all. It always is with poker, with sports betting, with Bitcoin. But it's not perfect. Some people get fucked over, but. Now that they know a lot more about it, I'm not super thrilled. I also think what's his name? Gensler, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like more heavily involved now too, from what I'm reading. And I don't know. I don't trust these cocksuckers.
Do you think this is all direct fallout from the FTX stuff, that's lit a fire underneath them to be more proactive with this stuff?
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it made a lot of these people and what's the word? I don't know, not embarrassed. I don't know if that's the right word, but it made him look a fool a little bit, like, cause he donated to so many politicians that were like on the oversight committee and stuff like that. And, you know, eventually people are going to lose money or get hurt if they haven't already. I don't know what the whole solution is that to normal people who had money at FTX. But like, I know like the theme at of the time was that he was donating to all these Democrats and he was like a fake super woke guy, right? He didn't actually believe it because you could see the DMs that were released. So it was kind of a cultural war issue. But like, you know, all these politicians looked really bad, and now they have a motive to crack down.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in conjunction with this Wells notice, they also issued this alert urging caution for investors in the crypto space. This was posted today. It has, it's a long piece that has, you know, it basically looks like standard, you know, boilerplate warnings that you would see all basically saying not financial advice. Investments in crypto asset securities can be exceptionally risky and are often volatile. Thank you for that. Fraudsters continue to exploit the rising popularity of crypto assets to lure retailer investors into scams, often leading to devastating losses, and having an investment plan, as well as understanding your risk tolerance and time horizon, can be critical to your investing success. Yeah. What do you think of the release of something like this?
This is the playbook every time in every sector. We got to protect this. A few people get hurt, so we have to step in, and our approved vendors will be the ones you could use. So it's them and the people that they want in power that share in the oversight, the main like vendors, banks or crypto banks or crypto advisors or financial advisors. They want them all under this umbrella. And the only way to do that is to regulate the ever-loving shit out of it, which is what they're probably going to be. I've been saying for 2 years they're going to do it, though. So I'm a broken clock on this one. So maybe it won't be that much oversight, but I doubt it. I think they will. And then that's kind of like the criticism of Coinbase, too, is they'll play the game. And if they play well enough, that then they will be the vendor of choice. And then, you know, Pete.com, who also wants to do something Bitcoin related, will never have a shot because Pete.com can't get enough funds to get the regulatory, you know, permits or whatever or connections to start your own company. And then the more and more they get their foot in the door, the more oversight, more regulation, and we would have no say in it. Because we're all only using Coinbase anyway. See what I mean? Yeah. Now, again, this is the Bitcoin bros argument. Is like, no, but we could still just transfer. We could transfer it by hand on a little memory stick if we wanted to. And we could do X, Y, and Z and do all these other things. And that's true. That is true. And you could keep the numbers in your head if you wanted, Pete. You don't even need to write them down. Just memorize them. And you could leave the country. And then in another country, you could put those numbers down and get your money back.
Head down to the local marketplace and buy my bread with my seed phrase of Bitcoin inside.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and it is beautiful and a beautiful idea in its genius, technology that he created. I agree with all of it, but this is still bad. You could agree with all that and go like, I wish they wouldn't do this. And this in the short term could really hurt the price of Bitcoin if no one can withdraw in US dollars through the I got this message from Kraken just two days ago.
It was canceled
and I think I still have some money on there, unfortunately. Really? But let me find the exact language here. But they got sent the same notice as Coinbase, but it was more strict. So here, let's see what it says. We'd like to inform you that as March 27th, Kraken will be unable to support ACH deposits and withdrawals.
Yeah.
So that's like online banking, you know. And I think that's like where you put your routing number and stuff. And I thought they can't do that anymore at Kraken, which was supposedly one of the legit crypto exchanges too. Not as safe as Coinbase, but better than, obviously FTX and even Binance, maybe.
Right.
Who knows what those claims are, but a lot of people say that. And now they can't do ACH.
Brian, can you answer this question? How can I switch CRO ETH20 to CRO chain? Welcome to Lulz, where we do help you all of your crypto bridging needs. Brian will now walk you through
how. Okay, here, let me get it. I actually do have my Crow. I do have Crow on. I have both the what is the name of the company? The crypto.com. That's their their coin.
That's their coin. Okay.
And you have to get the both apps, I think. They have a regular app and an investing app, and you have to transfer between them. It took me like 5 hours to figure that out during the boom. And I'm pretty sure almost all that money I put on there is like down to $300 or something.
Yeah. Ale, tell me how you found the show. Are you just stumbling across YouTube and it promoted into your feed because it said we're talking about crypto? I am very curious how you found us. I don't think I recognize your username. But like back to this note from the SEC, Brian, like none of the actual message within it is like shocking or groundbreaking to me. It's like, where was this 7 years ago when everyone at the Thanksgiving table was talking about Bitcoin? Like, isn't this when this should have been posted? Like, why is this getting posted in 2023?
And they know about it. They knew about it then. They were I guarantee a lot of these people invest, because I know the legislators in Illinois knew about it. And if they knew about it, then there's no way in New York or wherever, DC, they don't know about it. So they know about it. Where was it? I mean, and Coinbase says they asked for clarity like every year for years, and no response, just this letter. Like, remember the poker Black Friday shutdown was just some of the, like, I get that Full Tilt was a shady operation, right? I get, like, I'm not saying it wasn't, but they still could have handled it a million different ways, right? Yeah. They didn't have to do the nuclear option of shutting it down in that kamikaze way of just getting control of everything, screwing, you know, getting all the assets no one can play, instead of just negotiating with these companies.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do it that way. It didn't save anybody. It didn't help anyone. We all probably lost more money because of the way they did that. And why? And it's the same thing with this. Why not answer their request or get some clarity on why wait 7 years? Yeah. Did you see these TikTok hearings today? I was at the gym. I mean,
I've been hearing about the stuff with, we're now taking a long, hard look at it.
This is a kind of tangent, but side tangent, but it's the same idea as like the TikTok hearings is basically like, are they a Chinese company? Are they giving this data to the Chinese government?
Right.
And it's just like such a fucking, such bullshit. Like at the gym, it was CNBC was on the screen, right? The financial station, and one of them anyways. And while they were interviewing the guy at Congress, the CEO of TikTok, they had the stock prices of Google and Facebook. And who are their competitors? Who are the other ones? Facebook, Twitter, I guess. You know, all the social media companies.
Yeah.
They had the price going next to him as he was answering questions. Like, that's what it's about. They want to get rid of this fucking competitor. And it's like, hey, TikTok, we've been donating to these guys for 30 years. We have more power than you do. Here, we'll show you.
So are you saying, because one of the claims you'll hear is that obviously TikTok and the ByteDance or whatever the Chinese version, it's an incredibly dialed in algorithm. I think it's the best algorithm in social media compared to Twitter, YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels. The TikTok algo is top notch. And there's this theory being floated around that in China, they're harnessing this same algo for good. Educational materials, whatever indoctrination, propaganda they want to do. And in the US, they're using it to plant seeds of doubt and conspiracy theories and giving us all this mush. Like, do you buy that? Or do you think that's just the narrative that people are pushing to help us get rid of it?
That might be true. I have no idea. That might also be true. But I don't think I think a lot of these, the ulterior intentions of these guys is also that it's not the American company. Like, I really don't think Facebook and Google and these other companies have our best interest in mind.
No.
Even though they're American companies. And like, how American are these companies anyways, once they become these gigantic multinational companies? And this is leaving aside, should they have a say in it anyways? And like they can't, you know, like it's that same idea that I talk about all the time. It's like, they can't even get your fucking roads right. Like, you think they know the inner workings of TikTok and algorithms and computer science, you know, and all this type of stuff? They don't fucking know. They can't, they don't know what these old fuckers, they're like thousands of years old up there. And they're going to be experts on this brand new technology. Like, give me a fucking break.
Yeah, this is from the New York Times piece about what you need to know about the hearings today. It says, to continue operating in the U.S. under ByteDance's ownership, TikTok has sought approval from a group of federal agencies known as the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States for a plan called Project Texas. Everything is bigger there. That plan outlines how TikTok will prevent the Chinese government from having access to U.S. user data or meddling with content recommendations, with oversight from government-approved officials and third-party auditors. The plan has not been approved. Last week, it emerged that the Biden administration wants TikTok's Chinese ownership to sell the app or face a possible ban.
And I heard like Elon was thinking about buying it.
Oh God, how many social media sites does this guy need to run it? Oh my god.
I want him to buy Rumble.
Have you spent any time on TikTok? Have you ever been on TikTok?
No, I haven't actually. Never downloaded it.
I enjoy the experience on TikTok because it does a really good job of, once you start watching a type of video or a creator you like, they are really good at finding other things within that orbit, tangentially related. They'll come back to them when they have new content. Like, I would say my hit rate when I scroll through TikTok, it's like a 600 or 700 batting average, as far as like, oh, I enjoyed watching that. I'm glad you showed it to me. Like, it's pretty fucking good.
Yeah, it's crazy how they have 1 billion active users. That's amazing. And they're not old. I think the For You on Twitter has gotten a little better over the last few weeks. Maybe it's just getting lucky. I don't know what you think about it, but like when it first came out, I was like, oh my God, I had to like mute a bunch of people that I wasn't following in the For You, because it's like, I don't want to see this like violence and shit. Like, this is fucked up.
It's so funny when you said that. I remember you mentioned, for people who don't remember, Brian was saying on one of his previous shows, he was getting like all these like random street fights and brawl type footage. I see a lot of people complain about the For You. I kind of appreciate it because I'm not necessarily a Twitter completist. I have like a list. Like when I'm writing the Fantasy Life newsletter, I have my fantasy list so I can just go check in, make sure I don't miss news. If I'm like watching a sporting event at my computer, I'll have TweetDeck up and just see the barrage. But generally I'm on the app on my phone and I like going to the For You page because it does a pretty good job of, if there was one tweet in my network that was discussed a bunch that day, I'll see it there. And yes, there is some bullshit in there. There's some threads I don't care about, but for the most part, it does a good job of giving me a snapshot of what I missed. Where if you're not a completist, like seeing every single thing, like that is the place that will catch it. So I don't know. I might be in the minority, but I don't mind it that much.
I'm not minding it lately. Do you think it's gotten better, or do you think I'm just seeing things, or just?
No, I think it's gotten better too. Do you ever use the thing that's like, don't show me more of this, like trying to give it feedback?
I didn't even know that was there. I just saw there's bookmarks. Has there always been bookmarks?
I use bookmarks religiously for like when I'm saving tweets that I want to use in writing.
How long have they been on here?
I mean, I used them all last year, so at least a year. Yeah.
I should have noticed that one.
Yeah. Well, Ale, I do want to just say, I need to circle back on this. Ale here is under 18, has Kraken with this fake ID. We cannot help you here. Please do not associate Lulz with anything that you're doing right now. But look at this, Brian. He was just searching crypto on YouTube and stumbled upon our show. Ale, we welcome you, and I'm sure we will disappoint you with whatever topic we are discussing next week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is gamblers talking about crypto, not experts talking about crypto.
Yes. Go with God. Please turn 21 before you watch the show again. And yes, please.
I'm pretty sure this is under the not for children option before you post.
The last 15 minutes of the show is just going to be us reading a long disclaimer protecting us from any potential lawsuits.
That's right. Yeah, we used to say that every show, so much so my mom made me not financial advice cups.
Really?
Yeah, I still probably have one in this place, or maybe my other place, but yeah, gotta bring that back. Not financial advice.
Well, are you seeing too, like, you know, Top Shot got the lawsuit about whether the moments were securities, then DraftKings, I think, got hit with a similar lawsuit for the Rainmakers stuff. Like, this stuff it's bubbling up everywhere.
That's my point. That's why I was like, we should at least mention this. It might be, you know, the problem with the Top Shot is now we have to wait 18 years to get our money back. And so it's not a good time to sell, but if they're going to crack down on that, man, price is going to go to what?
We should probably just floor that thing, man. We should just, I mean, you owed a controlling interest in it. So you get to make the decision, but God, I was going to say
Kareem would probably not care either with his shares anymore, but he might be like, no, I got money forever. I'm fine now. So
yeah,
let it roll, baby.
You guys are going to have your own talks about your Jason Tatum. This is a conversation just about a Nikola Jokic cosmic.
Right. And is he involved in our Chris Paul or not? Which I think he is, but
it's in a spreadsheet somewhere. I mean, Brian, I'm telling you though, right now, if Jokic wins the MVP for the third straight time, this moment is going to the moon, baby. How many MVPs would Jokic have to win for us to not be underwater on that? He could literally go down as a better player than Michael Jordan and LeBron James, and we would still lose money on that moment. I believe that wholeheartedly.
It's like picking like the NCAA championship in your bracket, yeah, and then not getting anything for it. Like, yeah. Now we were right. The whole idea was right, but apparently we were playing a completely different game than we thought we were playing.
We definitely were. Jeez, that was brutal. Absolutely brutal. What did you end up, because you were last week when I asked you about the getting blacked out thing, it was in relation to getting up MMA ownership. Did you end up playing?
I did. I lost, but okay. I did play.
I've been disappointed because I keep telling myself I want to play MMA on Saturdays, but what I've recently discovered is, the weekends are actually like now the impossible time for me to get anything done, because during the day we got some help taking care of April during the week, and then no help on the weekends, obviously. And so it's just like, I have no time. I have no time. And now it means that I can't just bro out and play MMA DFS with the rest of you guys.
That's brutal. I didn't watch the fights though. So I can't remember what I was doing. Oh, it was pay-per-view. And yeah, it was during the day. It was actually a good time to do the fights. But I guess that it was a pretty decent card. And I don't know if you saw that Usman lost again.
Did he?
Yeah. So that's two in a row. Leon Edwards beat him with a point deduction too, I believe. Mm. Josh Engelman won that.
I saw that.
Three-way dupe though.
I love that you said that, because I was just about to make a joke. I was like, I'm sure you found something wrong with how or why he won. And then you got it before. Three-way dude.
Come on, bro. Didn't you win like a man?
Yeah, I mean, that's a losing. I mean, if you're duping three ways for first place, I mean, over your lifetime, you're going to be a loser.
Right. Yeah, 80 grand's nice, I guess.
Yeah. My God. Anything else going on what else are you playing right now? Just NBA and MMA?
Yeah. NBA is the end of the season too. So it's like 18 players were scratched today.
Yeah.
It's pretty, pretty brutal. And baseball starts in like a week or something. When does it start?
I know it's soon because everybody's baseball. Getting in their final, best ball, MLB drafts, right now.
Okay. Yeah. Looks like opening day is March 30th, 7 days.
And are you just trotting out your same kind of system and model for baseball, or did you overhaul it?
There'll be an update, hopefully, before it starts. But I was happy with last year's model, so.
Yeah.
Nothing too crazy. Baseball's a good one.
Ryan wants to know if you're going to be playing MLB.
Probably, yeah, probably. Baseball's pretty. There's only one sport, and there's not a lot of late scratches in baseball, so I could do more sites. I'll probably do all three.
There you go. Our new friend Ale says it's really funny to listen to such a normal conversation between, in parentheses, I assume you are friends. Don't assume anything. We fucking hate each other.
Mortal enemies.
Ale, we started doing this show for the new listeners. In right when the pandemic started, I remember Brian had reached out to me and had said, hey, it'd be fun to do like a DFS fantasy type show. And I was like, you know what, man, I'm going to Japan soon. I'm kind of busy. And then the pandemic happened. My trip to Japan got canceled. And I think I literally replied back to you like 2 weeks later. I was like, well, got nothing else to do. You want to do this show? Yeah. And then we fired it up.
Your trip got canceled. Was it canceled because of COVID, or got just canceled randomly? Because our first show, Rudy Gobert, spread the coronavirus across the entire country.
Yeah. I got out in front of it. I should say I canceled the trip like even before the Rudy Gobert night, because obviously Japan was ground zero with the cruise ship and all of that. And a couple of our things that we were going to go to, we had already gotten like, yeah, we're shutting down our restaurant. And I started being like, I just want to get out in front of this. And I also don't want to get stranded in Japan and like quarantined for a year. And so I ended up just calling around. I got our plane ticket. That was the big domino, because once I had that, I was able to go to all the hotels and be like, Japan Airlines refunded me. They said it's not safe for us to come over there right now, and ended up getting all my money back. But it was like, that was my dream trip. Japan, I've wanted to go to Tokyo and all over forever. And it was also going to be like one of our last hurrahs before we had kids. It was like everything was lining up and I got rugged on it so hard. But Brian, when God closes a Japan trip, he opens a LOL show, I think is the
Oh, that would be a fun trip though. Japan, yeah. Japan would be cool to check out. Although that flight,
the flight's a trek. Yeah, I mean you can do direct from Boston, but yeah, it would be a trek. I'd want to go. I think the trip we had planned was 2.5 weeks. I think you'd want it to be longer than a week to make up for how long that flight is both ways.
But it's funny. You're right, man. You could have been stuck there. I mean, you didn't know, but you could have been stuck there for a year.
It would have been. I was just like
what, how does that work? Believe it or not, unless things have changed recently, you can't come to America unless you're vaccinated. What would happen if you got held in Japan and then they came out the vaccine with the rule and like, but I don't have it. They don't have it here or something. They won't let you back in the country. I'm sure there's different rules for American citizens. You would hope.
I just turned into like Tom Hanks in that movie, The Terminal. And we just live in a Japanese airport for the rest of our lives.
I was going to thought you were going to do Frank what's his name? Abagnale, Catch Me If You Can.
Oh yeah.
I can't remember his name. And just an airplane, like you dress up as a pilot. Your wife is a stewardess and you just figure out how to fly home.
Well, the crazy thing is like I every year, you know, with COVID, I kept checking on kind of the Japan travel stuff, and they still, and maybe it's finally been lifted, but even up till like 6 months or a year ago, they still had like a 2-day quarantine rule for anyone visiting from out of the country. So you would have to chew up 2 days just sitting in a hotel doing nothing just to even be allowed to move freely about the country. So it was like basically completely prohibitive to go and travel there for less than a month with their current rules.
I knew a bunch of people who just went down to Mexico.
Really?
They didn't have many rules. And you know, they have those all-inclusive sites and stuff anyways.
Yeah.
And so like you could just where people would vacation anyways was just wide open.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure they didn't have super strict rules. That's it. Frank Abagnale Jr. I'm hearing that that guy's a total fraud too. Like, I don't think he did a lot much or whatever he was saying.
Yeah.
And he works for Google. Doesn't surprise me.
Ryan says Britt can't leave his Sims alone to go to Japan. Brian doesn't travel anywhere. So, I mean, he sure as hell ain't going to Japan.
That's a far trip.
When was the last time you were out of the country? I think I've asked you this before.
Oh, God. I don't know. Probably in Jamaica. That was like 12 years ago.
What did you go to, like an all-inclusive resort?
Cruise. And then you go to like drive you to the island, stay there for a day or two or whatever.
Yeah. Oh man. I'm surprised, Brian, with your kind of libertarian stuff that you haven't ever considered the like I'm going to go move to Puerto Rico or even going to like Miami or Austin where all the other crypto and techno entrepreneurs are headed.
I've considered it back in the poker days. I think if I wasn't already burnt out on poker, I would have probably made a move in 2011-ish. But I was like, it was over because they closed everything down. But I was also kind of like, probably towards the end of playing, anyways.
Yeah.
But if it was like, what's his name? Doug Polk. Like, I think he started in like probably 2000. Cause I played a few hands with that. I remember his screen name a little bit, but I think he started in like 2010 or nine or something. So like he's young and he's like 4 or 5 years younger than me, I think. So he was even younger then. So like, it makes a lot more sense at that stage in your poker career. But, and I had all my friends still here, you know, who were young, still living in the city. Like, no one lives in the city now. I'd probably be more likely to do it now or when I was really younger than I was before. But I eventually plan to get another place in Florida or South Carolina.
Yeah. There you go. Three places.
What's it called? Bird.
Snowbird or?
Snowbirding.
Yeah. Wow. Be nice. Speaking of Doug Polk, were you following any of the drama with the like Garrett Adelstein and the Live at the Bike and those games? He had a video and an interview that was going pretty viral in the past couple days. Were you following that at all?
Just the one tweet where he says the Garrett Adelstein guy says he's not going to play anymore. And then Polk called him autistic or somebody called him something.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't Polk, but it was somebody.
Yeah, I admittedly didn't go deep down the rabbit hole on it, but basically like Live at the Bike kept kind of changing their messaging on, was he actually not allowed to play? Was he not invited? What like actually was going on there? And it seems like behind the scenes, you know, Garrett had been calling a lot of the shots on the lineup for the game. And now I guess, and I'm sure someone like Harps in the chat could probably fill me in on the details on it, but they were basically like, yeah, we don't need you. We don't have to like, you know, sidestep around you or, you know, play to your needs and wants quite as much now. And it's just easier to be like, yeah, we're going to build these games without you, even though a lot of fans, I think, want to see him in the game because he's such an action player now. But it was just typical poker drama, which on the surface, when I say it out loud, seems completely harmless. But in the poker world, it's like the biggest thing going right now.
I saw the Polk tweet about how he says poker is as like big as it ever was. And he gave some numbers or something like that. I mean, maybe he's right. I don't know. To me, it just doesn't seem like that way, but.
Well, I think I pull this up every once in a while, but Brad Owens, I mean, his YouTube channel for like vlogs, and I can just show you some of his recent like view counts. Like, you want to talk about poker interest. So he has 666,000 subscribers. 3 days ago, Brian, he posted a poker vlog that has over 300,000 views. Like, no matter how you slice it, like that kind of eyeballs on a single vlog in an industry, like think about in fantasy, thinking about itty video having over 300,000 views. Even like the biggest fantasy creators are very lucky to get over 100,000 on a big video.
That's crazy. I've been noticing more and more people talk about Rumble and like the numbers they're generating for people there. I know it's kind of like a political site now at this point, but like, the numbers don't seem real to me. Like they're getting like millions of views and it's like, who's on Rumble? Like, I mean, who's like, what users are using Rumble? But then also like, if it is a signal, like maybe like that wouldn't be a bad place to put your shit on.
Like, yeah.
It's a lot easier to get in a less competitive environment to get followers and views, et cetera, and get up that huge following than in such a saturated market like YouTube. It's hard to get 660,000 followers.
Well, I mean, Brian, how are you going to have time for Rumble when you're so devoted to your fans on Truth Social?
Oh, that's true. Did I sign up? No, I didn't sign up on Truth Social. I signed up on that other one. Gab? No, I can't remember. One of them, I was the number one fantasy player on that product.
I'm sure you had a lot.
No one else could sign up on there.
Wow. I'm surprised you didn't have more competition over there.
What was it? I can't even remember the name of it. That bit
last day. That popped up. Yeah, I can't remember it now.
Dude, I'd love doing truths. It's such a cheesy
True Social.
Truths.
It is very bad. Anything else coming up for you this week?
That Trump deep fake, by the way, the arrest, those were hilarious, Ryan. I'm sorry. Did you see the one where Melania's freaking out? I want to see if you catch.
I saw a handful of them. Let me see if I can pull some.
See if you can find the one with Melania. Like the ones where he's running are so funny. Like first of all, that man's not. He's not running. Let's be honest.
His arrest supposed to be tomorrow, by the way.
It was supposed to be yesterday.
Okay.
And they're reconvening it. So let me go to the other ones that you.
This one is so bad.
That, look at his leg; doesn't even line up. That one's pretty good. That was pretty good. But the also, running ones are hilarious. And then
the implication that it would take like 9 able-bodied police officers to take down this geriatric fat dude.
Yeah, I know. Give me a break. But and people actually thought this was real. I love he's got the torn sleeve. This is great. And he's got, they're not even looking at him, but like it's still good. This one is classic.
It's just again as if he could outrun anyone. I guess maybe he could outrun these
look
guys
at, who don't look at Hoodie Bro in the back there, just yeah. kind of traveling. Yeah. And then Don Jr. looks like he's like 28 here. And then there's a couple more with Melania.
Is this the one you like?
This is my favorite
one. Is that Trump in a condom?
It's Trump. It's Trump undercover.
He's going undercover. God.
Somebody tried to sneak a Trump in the office there. Oh my God. Oh, that's good. Have you seen the artist representation of former presidents ones?
No.
Let me show you this one really quick. There was this one's not as funny as the older one, but I have the link handy. It's here it is. I'll put it in chat here. It's I think it's part of like the new Photoshop.
Okay.
A new Photoshop package, but this is the former presidents as superheroes.
Yeah.
And he's that's the one I shared to my brother, but he's the only one who doesn't look like a superhero. All the rest of
them. I was going to say that one looks pretty normal.
It just looks like looks like Teddy Roosevelt. And they had another one too. They were evil or no, I think they were cool or something like that. It was that one was much funnier.
Wow, these are wild. Abe Lincoln in the
Scarecrow
there. Yeah. James Buchanan slicing some meat. Franklin Pierce.
He looks like the Dracula. Dad from 30, the third rock from the sun that James Buchanan.
Millard Fillmore, not a flattering representation of him.
No.
Zachary Taylor looking cool.
Polk.
John Tyler. Martin Van Buren.
I'd be scared of him.
Yeah. Andrew Jackson looking like Ted Danza. And
he does. Yeah.
Ted Danson. John Quincy Adams looking like the werewolf. James Monroe, James Madison. That one's pretty good. Thomas Jefferson looking very ominous like in that
some
cloak.
Evil Green Lantern or something.
Oh, poor John Adams.
There's not much you could do with him though. Yeah. Not a handsome man.
George Washington, that's a pretty good one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, there like that, I'd vote for that, George Washington.
I'm surprised, Brian. It feels like that's kind of artwork that you would, purchase, head down to Kinko's and just have them all over your wall behind you.
Fuck. I just went to print something out the other day. They wouldn't let me do it because it's copyrighted.
Really?
Yeah. So like if you buy a book or whatever in it, anything, and it has copyright on it, Office Max, Office Depot, they won't let you print it out.
So just to recap for Brian, he lives in a world where he gets cut off on Long Island iced teas at Buffalo Wild Wings. They're coming for his crypto on and off ramps, and they won't even let him print shit out at Kinko's. How are you still in this country, Brian?
And you guys are telling me I'm not oppressed by my government.
Oh my goodness. All right. Fun show today, guys. Brian, brick75.com for MMA stuff this weekend.
If they're fighting, I think they are.
They're always fighting.
Oh yeah.
I know one thing about these guys. They're always fighting.
Let's see. We got March 25th. Yep. And next week we'll have PGA ownership back. This week was match play. I don't have that shit set up.
There you go. Sorry. No match play stuff for you guys. We, as always, are here every Thursday at 1:30 PM Eastern. We used to be Wednesdays. And, this show can do a lot of things. One things we can't help you do is bridge your crow off change if you are under 18 with a fake ID on Kraken. That is the limit of what we're able to do for everyone else. We appreciate you. Good luck to your brackets. Enjoy the rest of the tournament. Enjoy all of your sweats. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.